Brachot, 48, February 20th, 2022, 2020. Actually, that's 2020. We are on Mem Chet Amud Beit. We're a few lanes behind. Where are we? Where we go? I'm sure. You know what? I'm looking on the wrong page. I'm a page ahead. We are on Mem Zayin Amud Beit. Right, we're talking about who's mitzvah for a minyan. If you have, can you include a baby in a mezuzah? Do you need nine people and then one person just sort of who's floating around? And we left off by the minyan that the freed his slave, Rabban Gamliel freed his slave, so he can make a minyan. How can he do that? You're not allowed to free your slave, but it's okay for an important public need, like to make a minyan. He could do that. That's where we left off. So we are, let's say. I'm a Rav Yeshua ben Levi. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. In my Gemara, it's opposite the Gila Yon Hashas. I'm a Rav Yeshua ben Levi. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So yeah, it's about 10 lines. I'm a Rival. Lo'olam yashkim adam lebeit haKnesset. Kadei sheyiske v'yim neim asar rishonim. This is nice. You should be one of the first 10 people in the minyan. So that's good. If you go to a shul like this, a small shul, it's easy to be one of the first 10 people. But so you should always be one of the first 10 people who makes the minyan. Shafilu meim ba'im acharav. Even if 100 people come afterwards, kiva skarkulam. He gets the reward for everybody. Where it says, do you mean that? Literally, skar kulam sakatatak alayim enoktim skar keneget kulam. The first 10 get as much reward as the other 100. Because the first 10, even though you didn't really... The other 100 could have made the minyan, but since you were the one who did it, you got a much greater reward. Okay. I'm Rav Huna. Tisha v'aron mitzarfim. You don't really need a minyan. You need 9 people and an aron kodesh. Means you have to be in a shul. 9 people in a home won't work, but 9 people in a shul, that's good enough for a minyan. Nope. I'm really, you hear sometimes, you know, these stories, you know, can have
safer
Torah. Right, you have these things. So, for lahalach, it's not really accepted, but some people still rely on it. You do that where?
Really?
Oh, if you have 9 people, you rely on a Sefer Torah. Okay, so that's like a Sharat Chak. It's not really the normal halakhic practice, but all right, I hear. The first tshuva, I believe, of the Malamed Lahovo, Rav David Zvi Hoffman, a great rabbi in Germany at the turn of the century, the leading posek in Germany, was about a shul that has 8 people. You know, 8 people, can you do, what do you do? Can you have a minyan? They can't get more people or something. So I forget, he wrote back, if you can get 8, you can get 10. I think he wrote something along those lines. In other words, work harder. I don't remember what he said, because it's, on the pure halachic basis, it really doesn't work, but obviously you see precedent in the Gemara. For it. That's what the Gemara is saying. Tisha v'aron mitzarfim. Amarle Rav Nachman v'aron gavrahu. Well, what do you mean? Is the ark a person? I mean, he didn't like that. Yeah, he said, that's ridiculous. Elam Rav Huna, tisha nirim ka'asar mitzarfim. Now, what does that mean? It means, okay, well, 9 who look like 10 is good enough. So now you have a debate. Amre le ki mechafne, v'amre le ki mevadre. When do 9 people look more like 10? When they're together or when they're apart? Because, in other words, it's a psychological thing. Alan, when do 9 people look like 10? When they're spread out in a room or they're all together? Like, if you look at a group of 9 people, they're spread out. So that's a debate in the Gemara. If they're spread out, you don't really notice 10. So, but what does the Gemara say here? You don't even know our own Kodesh. 9 people is good enough for 10 people, it's around 10. Now, this isn't as crazy as it sounds, I think. My interpretation, because we know that all numbers in the Torah are rounded off. Almost every single number in the Torah is rounded off. How many people went down to Egypt? 69. That's what it writes. All the current, who was assembly? But whatever. You look in the, you read the psukim in the Torah, 69 people. How many years did they wander in the desert?
40.
No, they didn't wander 40 years in the desert. 39, 38. How do I know they didn't wander 40 years in the desert? Because how old was Moshe when he came to Paro? This is a verse in the Torah. So I forget Midrashim. How old was 80? And how old was he when he died? When did they get out of Egypt? The day he came to Paro. So they weren't in the desert for 40 years. They're around 40 years. How long? I mean, you have this all. The best one is in Bamidbar, when they count all the tribes. You know that every single tribe ends in 100. You know that. Except for 2. No, in the, I hope I get this right. There are two counts. There's in Sefer, in Parshat Bimbar, and in Pinchas, the first 40 years, the last 40 years. So one of them, it's 603,550 and 601,730. They also end by 10. In Parshat Bamidbar, I think it's Reuven or Gad, I forget which one, ends in a 50, and in the other Parsha, Gad ends in a 30. Now, what's striking about that is so obvious. It's so obvious when you think about it. What are Reuven and Gad? They were the two tribes that didn't want to go to Israel. In other words, these are counts to go to Israel. So Reuven and Gad, they stand out. They didn't want to go. But it's so obvious, and it's so clear that the numbers are rounded off. It's impossible that 400, 200, 600, 400, 200, impossible. One in 50 trillion gazillion odds of that happening. So so the Torah always rounds off numbers. So it could be, I mean, this is making, I don't know that it really, I don't really think it is, but in a certain sense, the 10, 9, 9, 10, big dip, doesn't really matter. 9 is like 10. That seems to be along the lines of what they're doing here. Anyway, so that's a machloket. If you have 9 people and you want to make a minyan, should the 9 people be together or should the 9 people sort of spread apart? Yeah, I don't know which is. It's hard. It's interesting. That's where the Gemara argues. Arav Ami, 4 lines from the bottom. Alan Yavit, Mem Zayin Amud Beit, 4 lines from the bottom, 5 lines from the bottom. Arav Ami, Shnayim v'Shabbat. We start from, that's wild. And for Shabbos, you only need a mezumin of 2 people. You don't need 3 people. Shabbos counts. Shabbos is like real. I'm really Rav Nachman with Shabbos governors. I said, get out of here. Is Shabbos, he was the same one who asked by 9 and the Aaron. Is Shabbos a person? Ela maravami, even wilder. Shnei talmide chachamim. Hamachadidim zed halacha. 2 Torah scholars who sharpen each other. Mechadidim et zeket. They ask questions. They debate. They're like 3 people. Meet starfim. They can count. And apparently not on Shabbos. Apparently the whole week. Machvei Rav Chista, Kigon Anav Rav Sheshet. So Rav Chista said, you know who are 2 people? Who are like 3, me and Rav Sheshet. And Rav Sheshet said, Kigon Anav Rav Chista. Okay, very good. Rav Sheshet and Rav Chista, they liked each other very much. They said they sharpen each other. They can make a mezumen. Amar Rav Yochanan, another question. Katam Poreach, Mizamni Olav. What's a Katam Poreach? Poreach means he flies away, right? Poreach. So it means like this. The way Rashi says is he reaches the age of puberty, but he's below the age of 13. He matures a little bit earlier, so katan poreach mizamni malav. You can mizamni malav, even though he's not 13 years old. Tanya nami hachi, we learned similarly. Katan eshevish te sarot, has reached the age of 2 pubic hairs, mizamni malav. Veshalo evish te sarot, e mizamni malav. We don't check it out. By the way, this happens every week when there's a bar mitzvah in shul. I don't know if kids really bar mitzvah. So ein medaktekim bekatan. You don't check it out. Hakufa kashing, where it says you just contradicted yourself. Amart hevi star steisharot. At first it says if he has 2 pubic hairs, it's good. Lo hevi lo, and then you say ein medaktekim bekatan. You don't check it out. Right, you don't make him pull down his pants before he gets an aliyah in his bar mitzvah. Right? No, I mean, I don't know how to say. I mean, no, that wasn't so nice. But okay, latuye, my love, latuye katan poreach. Doesn't that include to say you don't check out a katan poreach? And that is what we do, really. In other words, we don't check out. Really, that's the question. When you're in bar mitzvah, it's not really so much 13, or maybe it's 13 and puberty. We don't check that out. So some people have a chumrah on Parshat Zachar. Yeah, correct. Yekud is 13, but that's not the real Sima necessarily. Right. So I think even Parshat Zachar were not really, really Machmir. In other words, because Parshat Zachar is Midura Midura. Right. I don't think we're Machmir to check. I'm sorry? Oh, really? Because of this fear? You don't know why. You're assuming. Now that you learned this, you understand why. Was this recently? Like, was it? When did the family find this out? That's terrible. I mean, the day of the bar mitzvah. Erezra prepared the laney, came to shul, and said, "You can't lay." That's terrible. I'm sorry. That's terrible. That's terrible.
Why did they let him?
Because they're putting together, I'm assuming, I wasn't there, but I'm assuming, because according to many opinions, Parshat Zachar is biblical. Even that's a difficult opinion. So you fulfill it on Ki Teitzei. In other words, The idea of Zechirat Amalek is a biblical mitzvah. You don't have to fulfill it on Parshat Zachor. Remember that? You can fill it on Parshat Ki Teiz. You can finish on Purim morning by Yavo Amalek, also B'diavad. So they're saying, they're making this assumption, this Torah reading is biblical, which is what they do in all shuls. They clap on the table, they announce, and all the women come to shul, and they lay in the sixth song. It's a new phenomenon. They didn't do this 50 years ago. This is newfangled orthodoxy, you know, the new things that have crept into orthodoxy. Okay, whatever, fine. So they do that. So they said the bar mitzvah is 13. How do you know he reached the age of puberty? It's if the Torah reading all year is a rabbinic mitzvah, so big deal. So the kid, rabbinically, whenever there's a rabbinic doubt, you can be lenient. But when it's a doubt on a biblical issue, that is true, on a biblical issue. So they're assuming the Torah reading is biblical, and the bar mitzvah boy, we don't know if he's a bar mitzvah or not, so they didn't let it rain. But I think that's a terrible thing to do, in my opinion, because there's other issues involved. Maybe for Hilchot Kriyat Torah, it's an issue, maybe. But embarrassing a kid, you don't do that. I told you already, Rav Soloveitchik said you should never correct. I think he said it about everybody. But for sure, you don't correct the bar mitzvah when he makes mistakes. You don't correct him. Maybe you didn't fulfill Torah reading. So apparently that's the way the story goes, that the Rav said it's embarrassing. The kid makes mistakes. He makes mistakes. You're not going to embarrass the kid. That's worse. And then Rav Soloveitchik would make his own minyan later to rehear Kriyas. So he didn't hear Kriyas Torah. I don't want to say big deal, but it's according to, I think, Rav Chaim, his grandfather, there is no mitzvah to hear Kriyas Torah. It's a mitzvah on the tzibur to read Kriyas Torah. So it's nice. You're part. I don't want to say that people are going to walk out to go to, like, a kid. They should walk out for, you know, in the Kiddush Club. They don't have to hear Kriyas Torah. But they may. It's not like davening where you have an individual obligation to daven. That's a debate. But many opinions are there's no individual obligation to hear Kriyas Torah. There's a minyan, you learn Kriyas Torah. So it wasn't the Rav. It felt you shouldn't embarrass. I don't know if those two go together exactly. The Rav felt you shouldn't embarrass. A friend of mine who's a rabbi in Queens, he has a policy in his shul that you're not allowed to correct the Baal Kore. If you feel the book, only the gabbai. If the gabbai catches on the spot, I think they allow the gabbai too. They don't want people like screaming in the back of the shul. But if you think there's a mistake, you go to the rabbi in between the aliyah, and the rabbi will decide if he has to go back and read the pasuk. Now, that's a much better system than people yelling out in the back. And usually when you yell out the first mistake, especially a young kid, he'll make more mistakes because you rattle the kid. And even an adult. So, I think that's a that's terrible. To find out, the family must have been upset. I remember reading in the Canadian Jewish News a year or two ago, somebody wrote that he came to shul, I think it was 62 years later he was writing this, I think so, that he, and it took him like 50 years to realize what happened. They didn't allow him to have an aliyah or lane in his bar mitzvah. And he only realized years later, it's because they drove to shul. When he got to shul, they realized that we're in Shomer Shabbos, and the family drove to shul for the bar mitzvah. And the rabbi said, we can't give him a chal Shabbos and aliyah. I mean, there is such a view. We don't live in that world. We don't live that. So, and I think it hurt him his whole, you know. I'm sorry? Have that policy. What, if you weren't Shomer Shabbos, you couldn't get an aliyah? Really? And well, what if people didn't live within walking distance? So I will tell you another story I heard with my own ears, if I remember correctly. Beryl Rosenzweig, you were aware with Rabbi Berglass. Right, so Beryl Rosenzweig was the rabbi before Rabbi Berglass. He's still alive. Baruch Hashem was, I think, over 90, Rabbi Rosenzweig. So I once listened, him and his son, Rav Michael, the brilliant Rosh Hashiva at Yeshiva University, where once they spoke on a panel. I heard it on tape, but not to hear. And I was listening to it. It was very interesting. So Rabbi Baer was talking about what it was like being a rabbi in the days when orthodoxy wasn't so orthodox, when most people went to orthodox shuls weren't orthodox. You know, that wasn't so long ago, generation ago. So he said, I remember him telling the story of the president of the shul, of Shar Tefillah, came to shul on Sukkot. Rabbi Rosenzweig made a big thing. Who used to bring a lulav and etrog to shul? The five people who brought a lulav and etrog. You know, rabbis would push. Now everybody has their own lulav and etrog. So the president said, he should bring a lulav and etrog. So the president came to shul. On Shabbos, of course.
I can tell where you were going with this.
Right, on Shabbos. And he walks into shul with the lulav and etrog. So what did he do? It's very embarrassing. The rabbi, I think, quietly told him, you know, we don't take the lulav and etrog. I remember. And so he went back to his car and he put the lulav and etrog back in the car. Like, so, you know, it's we live in a different world. Listen, I think we drive people away from Orthodoxy if we don't welcome. And that today, non-Orthodox people don't go to an Orthodox shul. It just almost doesn't happen anymore. It's because Orthodox shuls are not welcoming to non-Orthodox people. There was a time they needed them to make a minyan. You know, how many shuls had a minyan of Shomer Shabbos? Lots of shuls. You couldn't get a minyan of Shomer Shabbos Jews. I mean, especially not in the big cities. Maybe, you know, New York, Toronto, but that's interesting. That's such a rule. Because I imagine lots of people went to Charlottesville and wouldn't walk to shul under normal circumstances. If they have to make such a rule, it's because there's a reason to make it. Anyway, so, okay, back here to Gemara. We've got to learn a little bit. We'll be a little lucky because we have a guest speaker teaching Daf Yomi on Shabbos. Michelle Farber is going to give the Daf Yomi shiur for the shiur on Shabbos. Anyways, but we'll see how much if we have to make up a Shabbos. I'm sorry? Yeah, the 11:20 shiur. I mean, it's going to be more, yeah. But yeah, she had this print out the Daf. That's what she said, and I totally agree with her. That's what she does. That's what she's saying for her. She said, I want to teach Daf Yomi. So she's going to teach Daf Yomi. I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, I don't know if she'll do the whole Daf. Whatever. We'll see. But late Hilchot Kol Hani Shamaita. So the Gemara says, we don't follow any of this stuff. That's what that was saying. 9 is 10, and 2 is 3, and 2 Talmidei Chachami. Well, Elakihada Rav Nachman. So the question is, we don't follow all of what stuff. But okay, let's leave that for now. Tosfot has a whole discussion. But let's say, seems to be on the katan. The simple reading is, the katan, whether he's 13 or puberty, that's not the issue. The issue is, does he understand? You have a 10-year-old kid who understands and a 15-year-old kid who doesn't understand. Katan hayodea lemi mevarchim. If a child knows to whom they're benching, mevarchim alav, then you're allowed to include him. Otherwise, you can't. So it's not an age thing. Abai v'Rava, so the Mara tells a story, and apparently this is when they were kids, otherwise the story won't make any sense. Abai v'Rava, avayat v'kamei d'Rava. Rava with the hay is generation 3, and Abai and Rava are generation 4, right? So they're sitting, they're little kids, they're at Rava's house. Amar lu Rava, Rava said to, l'mi mevarchin. So, you tell like a 5-year-old kid, who do we say Birchan HaMazon to? So he says, Amar Lei L'Rachmana, to the merciful one, to God. V'Rachmana Hei Chayativ, like we do. And where is God? Where is God sitting? Rava Achvei L'Shmei Tala. So Rava pointed up to the heaven, to Shemaim. Look, God's up there. And Abaye Napek L'Ra, he went outside. I think that's what it means. Achvei L'Shmei, he also pointed out to the heaven. So Amar Lei Rava said, you guys are amazing. Tarvaichu, the two of you, Rabbanan, have youth. You guys are going to be rabbis one day. I don't believe the story is literal happened exactly like this, but whatever. Saying even as kids, you know, by Rabbi Haynu Damrinchi, Butzin Mekatvin Yade. So this is often true, but not always true. Butzin means a dalad, a gourd. When it begins to grow, then it shoots up. In other words, Rashi says, when the kids are little, you know who's going to be the genius. Already in grade 4, you know who's going to get the gold medal. And, you know, very often kids are from young ages. You know, every once in a while I say, wow, how did he become like this? You know, where did he come from? But everybody knows, keep people you went to school with. They were brilliant in grade 6, and they're brilliant now. And that's what he's saying. Both seem to become. They know. And, you know, from a young age. So buying rubber, they knew from a young age. So you can bench. The simple reading of this Gemara is they're 5 years old, and they understand when benching is, you can include them in a mezuzah. Okay. I don't know why we don't do that, because that makes a lot of sense. Who cares how old you are? If you understand what benching is. But so you have to sit. Who are we benching to? And you have to say, points out there. Okay, but you know without knowing. You know it. That would be a young age. I would assume most kids. Kids who go to day school today, they know in grade 1 already, they know the benching. They go to school and they learn Baruch Atah, and they learn the benching out loud in grade 1. So anyways, I'm reviewing the Brady Rishmuel, Bar Shilam. We've got to pick up some ground, we'll go a little quicker. Bar Shilam, I mean, it's my fault, but Bar Shilam, Mishmei Derab, Tisha Achlu Dagan, Ba'achala Yerek. 9 people ate bread, and one person ate vegetables, Mitzarfim. In other words, you don't need all 10 of them to have washed. This is not to say Elokeinu. Amar Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira says, Bami Nem Rav Yehuda here. Shmona Mahu, Memchad Amud Aleph, about 12 lines from the top. Amar Rav Zeira, Bami Shmona Mahu, what if 8 ate bread? So Shiva Mahu, or 7 ate bread. It says, Loshna, it doesn't matter. You don't need seven people. As long as 7 people ate bread, it's kind of what we said by minyan, you know, if 6 people have daven, you don't need, like, you know, they could be mistaken for min. So it's the same thing here. Loshna, shisha v'dai lokum avaylei. He didn't ask about 6. 6, impossible. I understand 7 is good enough, but 6, how can you bench if 6 people wash? That's not enough. He didn't even bother asking the question. So I'm really, Rav Yirmiyah, shapir avadata, the lo avay. It's good you didn't ask. Why? Hatam tamamai mishum diikaruba. Why 7 good? Because 7's a majority. Hachanami ikaruba. So 6 is also a majority. Viusava ruba de minkarbainan. So why didn't he ask in 6? Had he asked in 6, he would have been told it's good. And that's how we puskin with the minyan. As long as the majority of the people haven't daven, you can make a minyan. You get 4 people off the street who daven, and 6 people, you can do all of davening because you have a majority. So he'll know you need a noticeable majority. 6 to 4, you just squeeze by. Although 7 to 3, that's a majority. Okay, whatever. So he didn't ask. Okay, now we have these story. Like, you sit here and you read the story and you go like, wow, like the world's exploding and they're worrying about what bracha to make. Like the ship's on Titanic. You know, they're playing the music. Like, let's read Yanai Malka. Yanai, King Yanai, who's a Cheshmonaim king, I forget the history for a moment. Umalkata and his queen, Krichu Ripta Bahadadadadaday, they were eating bread. Umidikata Lulu Rabbanan, see, the Gemara tells a story, they killed all the rabbis. Gemara and Kiddush, I don't remember the whole story now, but I know the famous story. Yanai killed all the rabbis, he just got rid of them, he massacred them. So they didn't know there was no way to bench. I just find it's like they're sitting and they're worrying about who's benching. Like, they killed all the rabbis, no big deal. Like, almost. I mean, because here it's not about killing the rabbis. Here it's about benching. So they didn't, they were very frum. They had a bench. But after they killed the rabbis, lo avilei inish lebruchela. Nobody could do the mezumen for them, right? That's important, right? It's like astounding. Right, lebruchelu amar lo ledveitu. So Yanai Amelech said to his wife, "Man yavlan govern the mevarchlan. Where can we find the person who knows how to bench? I killed them all. There's nobody left who can bench." Amrala. So she said to him, "Ishtabali, will you swear to me? I want you to swear to me. Di maitina lachavra. If I bring you a person, you won't hurt him. Delometzar tile. Swear to me. Otherwise, I can't deal with you." In other words, she didn't like, I guess, what her husband did. Of course, part of it is because the person she's going to bring is her brother, who happens to be the one rabbi who he didn't kill. Ishta Bele, so he swore, "I promise you I won't hurt him." He didn't know what it was. Aitun Lishimon Ben Shetach. This is the third generation of Zugot in Pirkei Avot, so it's sort of, yeah, right, the Chashmonaim period, before the Tanaim, really, before Hillel and Shammai, a couple of generations. We're talking about, I don't know, 120 BCE, more or less. Whether the story is historically true, again, let's not discuss history of the Gemara. So they brought Shimon Shetach, Achva, the brother. Yanai's brother-in-law. Yanai's killed all his colleagues. And no one knows how to bench except him. Otvene ben didali didei. So he sat him down in between the queen and the king. Amrlu chazi kami yikar avdila. So the king says, "Look how much honor I give you. I mean, it's like unbelievable. I sit you in the king's palace. You're like in the throne. You get to sit next to the king and queen." So Amrle, he wasn't impressed. Lav at kamokritle elo araita hu demokritle. I don't take honor from you. Torah is what gives honor. The study of Torah gives honor. Dichtiv salsilcha utaramecha techabde li kitich vechena. So I forget how they derive it from the pasuk, but I get honor, the Roman moot, and the honor doesn't come from you, it comes from the Torah. Okay, so Amar La, so the king turned to the queen, he says, "I don't like this guy. Chazina de lo mekabo amar. This guy, he doesn't take instructions. I give him a comment, he answers back. You don't answer back to the king. Oh, who is this guy?" But he can't kill him. He promised his wife he wouldn't kill him. Yav la kisa levruche. So they brought him a cup of wine, because you're supposed to bench. We're not careful about that. Again, the question why is not necessarily clear. The simple reading is whenever you bench, you're supposed to bench in a cup of wine, even on a Tuesday night, like whatever, maybe with the minion. Not, anyway, they brought him a cup of wine to do the benching. Amar hechi avarech. Now he hadn't eaten anything. That's the, what should I bench? Baruch shachal yanai b'chaveiro. I can't say baruch shachal nu. Why didn't eat? So I'm going to say, blessed the God that Yanai and his friends ate. So that he didn't know what to do. So shek yelahu kasa. So he drank a cup of wine. And now, yavu lekosach rina. So now they're going to give him another cup of wine. Now he can do berchan amazon. He sort of ate with them a little bit. Amarav ava braid rav chia barava. The whole thing is like, well, which, okay. Amarav braid rav chia barava. Amar Rav Yochanan, that's it. Shimon ben Shetach da Avid legarmehu David. You know, Shimon Shetach, he didn't follow the halacha. He did for himself. You can't come to the meal after they've eaten and have a cup of wine and bench. That ain't going to work. The hachi amar Rav Chia Barava, amar Rav Yossi, amar Rav Yochanan. Lo'olam einu motzi yadeh harim michayv tamat shiachal kazayit dagan. The person who's benching has to have had at least a piece of bread. He didn't have bread. He had a cup of wine. So it wasn't right what he did. That's why I find it. Meitve. So now the Gemara asked the question. Rashi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Allah v'heisevi mehem. A person comes to the meal late and he lies down with them, right? Heiseba. Everybody gets their own table. So he's sitting like with everybody else, but he's not really eating with them. Afilu lo taval imahem ala bitzir. All he did is he dipped a little vegetable in vinegar. So he just had a very small thing to eat. V'lo achal v'hem, come on in. V'lo achal v'hem, ela gorgoret. Oh, we don't have an extra gemara, but you'll share. Okay. Ela gorgoret achad, and he only ate, what's a fig, a little piece of nothing. Mitztarif, mitztarif. So that is good. What do you mean you have to eat bread? You don't have to eat bread. You eat a little bit. So Gemara says no. The difference between being one of the three people and being the leader of the three people, saying the mezumen, that you have to have bread. And participate is good. So he says, it's stirfe mitstarev avalahotzi at the rabbi. Right? Because the person who benches, he's the only one who benches. The other people just answer me. They don't bench. So he can't be motzi at harabim if he didn't eat the bread. Okay? It makes a lot of sense. Okay. Imarnami. So that's why I find the story astounding, even in the context. You know, they killed the rabbis, but what's interesting to them is how they're going to bench properly. Igmar Nami, Amar Racha Bar Yehuda Mishmei Derava. Afilu lo taval. Okay, mem chadamot beit. Imahem ela betzir v'lo achalimim grogert. If you eat just a little bit, mitztarif, fine. V'lo tziyat haravim yidei chovatam. But to be the leader of the benching, eino motzi at sheyuchal kazaitakan. You got to eat a whole, you got to eat a piece of bread. Amar Ravchana Bar Yehuda Mishmei Derava. Hilchata, the law is achal ale yerek v'shata koshel yain. You eat just a little bit of fruit or vegetable, and a little bit of wine, mitztarif. Then you can be one of the three people, even though, by the way, you didn't eat a mezonot, right? We normally assume you have to eat a mezonot. It's okay, just a little bit of vegetables. But to be the bencher, to lead the mezumin, lotzi, eni motzi, do it for the other people, ashi yochal kazayit dagam. Okay, Amarav Nachman. Now we're going to discuss benching at all. This, we alluded to this yesterday. Moshe tikein Yisrael birchat hazan. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Gemara, instituted the bracha of Hazanat Olam Kulo V'Tvo B'Shah She'Yarat Lahem Man, when the man fell from heaven. So he thanked God, Hazanat Kol. It's like, Yehoshua Tikein Lehem Birchat Haaretz, No Delech Hashem Al Haaretz Chamda, because he was the one who brought them into the land of Israel. So he composed that bracha. Kemen She'Nichnesu L'Haaretz. David Shlomo Tiknu Bonei Yerushalayim. David and Shlomo made the third bracha. Vnei Yerushalayim al Yisrael Amecha, v'nei Yerushalayim Recha, v'nei Yerushalayim Rekodesh, right? David Tikein al Yisrael Amecha, v'nei Yerushalayim Recha, right? What we say. V'Shlomo Tikein al Habayit HaKadosh, Kadosh, because obviously David HaMelech couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash, so he couldn't thank God, ask God for mercy on the temple. Only Shlomo could do it. So they composed it together. HaTova Meiti, this is also very striking, and it's also in the same sort of story with Yanai HaMelech. HaTov HaMeiti, that's the fourth bracha that we discussed yesterday. We answer Amen after Bonei Baruch Mev Yerushalayim Amen. The fourth bracha, Helavino Malkeinu Adireinu Boreinu, called HaTov HaMeiti, who meitiv who yetiv lanu, right? That's why it's called tatov v'hameitiv. That's a rabbinic. That's considered a less important bracha. And when was that composed? B'yavne. And, you know, after the destruction of the temple, B'yavne. Umiko tuv l'olam ha'yichas reinu. The harachamans is just a minute. In other words, there are three brachot we assume are biblical or quasi-biblical, hazana takol, al ha'aretz v'al hamazon, b'nei bracha mirushalayim. Then the real benching is then, the biblical benching, so we say amen to our own bracha. That's what we learned yesterday. Then we have a fourth bracha. It's not smucha l'chaverta, right? It's not considered, even though we say it, it's not parallel, and therefore it's got to start with baruch. Normally, brachot next to each other, the second one doesn't start with baruch, but this one has to. And it ends, mikol tuv l'olam ha'chasreinu. That's why the person who says it out loud, often they say mikol tuv l'olam ha'chasreinu. The harachamans, that was added on later. That's well known in yeshivas. Guys didn't like to say harachamans, bittul Torah. You know, say, I'm wasting my time on harachamans. I can go learn a black gemara. So saying all the harachamans. They didn't like to daven so much in yeshivas. That the tension in the Hasidic world, they didn't like to learn so much. And the I'm saying it in a very stark way. It's not, but there is a lot of truth to that. The Hasidim emphasized davening and not learning, and the Mishnagim emphasized learning and not davening. That's why they're two different groups. And you know, so I don't know. So I don't know if they never said a rachamah. Some say maybe only not on Shabbos, whatever it was. Now, but where does this fourth bracha come from? So it's hatov v'hameitiv. God is good and does good, right? That's what it means. Hatov v'hameitiv. B'yavne tiknu k'neged harogei beitar. Because of the 100,000 Jews who were killed in Beitar. For that, we make a bracha to thank God. That's what the Gemara says. Damar Rav Mata, oto ayom shanitra harogei beitar l'kvura, which I believe is on the 15th of Av. I think that's one of the things. Haven't I think? That day, that harogei beitar were buried. In other words, the Romans slaughtered them, and they were lying out. The bodies were decomposing, whatever. And finally, they got to bury them. So tiknu b'yavne. So they made a bracha to thank God. It's like a striking, unbelievable thing. Like we should be mourning, right? Tiknu bracha hatov shelo hisrichu. They weren't smelly. That God, their bodies didn't decompose and smell. V'ameitiv shenitnu l'kvura. Okay, very wild. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, say their bracha namazon kachi. This is the order. This is how you do bracha namazon. Bracha rishona birchat hazan. We know that. Hazanat kol. Shnia birchat haaretz. Okay, these are to us. We know this. Shlishit bonei Yerushalayim revid hatov ha-meitiv. U'bishabbat matchil b'nechama u'misayim b'nechama. It's interesting. They nechama, comfort. What do we say in Shabbos? Whatever, we add the bracha of Nechama in the bracha of Nachem. It doesn't need its own bracha. Vomer, Kedushat Hayom Be'emsa, right? And you make the you put Shabbos in the middle of the bracha. It doesn't get its own bracha. Rabbi Elazar Omer Ratzal Omra Be'Nechama Omra. If you want to say it in the bracha of Rachemna, God of mercy, you can say it there. Bibirchat ha'aretz omra. Very interesting. You don't have to say ritzay and where we put it. You can say it earlier in the benching. You have to mention Shabbos in the benching. You don't have to mention it there. You can mention it in the Bibirchat ha'aretz omra. Bibirchat shetiknu chachamim biyavne. If you want to say it later, you can say it later. You can say it after hatov v'hameitiv. You can say bonev v'racham av Yerushalayim amen, and then you can add the bracha of ritzay. Very unusual to have such an idea. We have a machloke when you say Havdalah. You say Havdalah atachonein or Hodah, but you don't have a thing you can say wherever you want. You can't say Yalav Yavu wherever you want. But here it's saying, you can say wherever you want it. The Chachamim Amrim, the Chachamim disagree with this. That's what we said before. So it says, B'diavad. What if you said in another place you have to repeat the benching? You know, Ritzay, if you forget Ritzay, you have to repeat the whole benching. If you forget Yalav Yavo, you have to repeat the whole Shmon Esrei, right? You're missing a major part of the Dam. You miss Mashiv Aruch, you have to repeat the Shmon Esrei, right? So the question is, if you said Ritzay in the second or the fourth bracha, you have to repeat the Shmon Esrei, so that's a machlok. One opinion, you're allowed to say wherever you want. One opinion is you should say it where we say it. And third, but if you didn't, no big deal, as long as you said it. And then third opinion is, you have to say it then, or you have to repeat the whole benching. It's a pretty far-ranging machloket. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Minayin the bircha namazon min haTorah. How do you know that benching is a biblical mitzvah? And it's the only biblical mitzvah. It's the only biblical, you know, bracha, right, obviously. Okay. Shenemar v'chalta v'savata u'beirachta. So the Gemara says, zu birchat hazan. So the Gemara wants to interpret, like I said, the first three brachot are biblical, not just the first bracha. Now, I might have argued hazanata kol is the only bracha that's biblical. That's thanking God for food. No delacha is not thanking God for food. Brachim, the other brachot aren't about food. Only the first bracha is about food. But the Gemara says, abachalta v'svata v'rachta, then it's hazan, about food. Et Hashem Elokecha, to thank God, zu birchat hazimun. It's interesting, not in order. The birchat hazimun is before the invitation to bench. Ala aretz, right, that's the pasuk in Chumash, abachalta v'svata ala aretz, so that's birchat aretz. It's not about the food, it's about the land. Zu birchat aretz, hatova, what's the good land? Zu bone Yerushalayim. V'chein omer ha'har ha'tov hazeva halvanon. That's Yerushalayim. Asher natan lecha zeh ha'tov ha'meitiv. So according to this, it would appear ha'tov ha'meitiv is also a biblical origin. But the Gemara before said the ha'tov ha'meitiv is in Yavneh because of the people who were killed in Beitar. But according to this reading, it would appear, he's saying, no, they're quoting a pasuk, Asher natan lecha, zu hatov ha-meitiv, and that's for a much happier reason, right? It makes more sense. You're saying hatov ha-meitiv, not because the people in Beitar got a proper funeral. You're saying it because God gave us a beautiful land. That's a totally different reason why you say the bracha. Okay, now the Gemara says, like, okay, so that's how I know I have to bench. Min haTorah. Ein li lacharav. That's after I eat. No, what about lefanav? Lefanav minayin. How do you know you have to bench? I didn't make a bracha before you eat. Now, I mean, amarta, a kavachomer. It's a kavachomer. If you have to bench after, keshusa veya mivarech, does this kavachomer make sense? Let's think. When a person is satiated, he has to bless. Keshurev lekoshikin. How much more so does he have to make a bracha when he's hungry? What's the logic there? If he has to make a blessing, well, yeah, what do we say? We argued this last. I'm sorry.
Go on.
No, you tell me. So I'm not sure I understand the logic of the Kavah Chomer. That's why I'm asking you.
He's thanking you.
In other words, if I
for the food he's going to eat.
Right.
So he's blessing
you have to thank before. I would think you have to thank more after you eat. I haven't eaten yet. After you use the gift or before you use the gift? When do you say the gift? When do you give a bigger thank you? After you've used the gift or before? I don't know. Before? Okay, so that's what the Gemara is saying. So you're right. Okay, that's the Kavah Chomer. Okay, that's Kavah Chomer. If I'm really hungry, that's when I have to thank God. After I eat, okay. That's obviously what the Gemara is saying. I would just have a problem understanding. What's the Kavah Chomer about it? Now, even we don't assume like this. If it's really a Kavah Chomer, so that means the bracha is what? Is actually a biblical bracha. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yishmael, Yud Gimel Midot HaTorah Nidreshim, Kavah Chomer. What is it? Yud Gimel Midot HaTorah Nidreshim. Anything derived from the Torah for using these 13 principles becomes a biblical law. It doesn't become one of the Taryag Mitzvot. Taryag Mitzvot has to be written a pasuk in the Chumash, Birchat HaMazon. But anything derived from Yud Gimel Midot, that's most of the Torah, Kavah Chomer, how do you know there are 39 melachot on Shabbos? All these things, not written in Torah anywhere. But we assume that's a biblical law. So when the Gemara says it's a Kavah Chomer, presumably if I have to bench out, the Torah only had a right bench afterwards. Of course, if I have to bench after, I have to bench before. That means it's a biblical law. We don't assume like that. We assume the bracha before you eat it is rabbinic in nature. But based on this Gemara, it should be actually a biblical mitzvah to make a bracha beforehand. Anyways, that according to this opinion, I would assume that's what he would say, right? Lo kosh kishu lo koshkin. Rabbi Omer, no. Rabbi says that's not how I know I make a bracha before I eat. Eino tzarich v'chalta v'savata ubeirachta that we have before zu birchat hazan like before. Aval birchat hazimun. Birchat hazimun we learn from a different pasuk. Mikadlu l'Hashem iti, right? Zimun is I invite other people to join me. So gadlu l'Hashem iti u'neroma mashmo yachtav. So that's, we join it together. So I have an extra pasuk left over few extra words to teach us that I make a bracha before I eat. Again, it's a biblical mitzvah to make a bracha before you eat, according to this. Ate nafka al aretz, zu berchat haaretz, hatova zo b'nei Yerushalayim, v'chein emor haratova zel banon, the same thing. Hatova meitiv b'yavne tiknu. Ein li ela l'acharav l'fana minayin, temul emar shenatan l'cha. Mished natan l'cha. Like before he gives it, al aretz asher natan l'cha. You have to bless God for the land that he has given you, that he's giving you. That tells us that you have to make a bracha before you eat, which is interesting because Asher Natan Lecha isn't about food anymore, right? V'achalta v'savata v'rech is about food. Then the rest of the pasuk is about the land of Israel, but they want to use that end part of the pasuk to go back to food. It's not talking about food. It's interesting. That's the drasha they want to make. Okay. Rav Yitzchak has a different way of learning it. Rav Yitzchak omer einot tzarich. Harei omer ubarech et lachmecha et meimecha. I will bless your bread and your water. Al tikri lechem. Al tikri ubarech ela ubarech. Not that I will bless it, but you should bless it. Not that God will bless it. We have an obligation to bless it. Ve'ematai karui lechem. When's it bread? In other words, the pasuk really means God will bless our produce. But the Gemara is using a play on words. It said, you have to bless your produce. Now, when's it called bread? Before you eat it. After you eat it, it's, I don't know what it is. It's all mush. It's in your stomach, right? Before you eat it. So you have to make bracha. All these opinions presumably hold that making the bracha before you eat is a biblical mitzvah. Again, like I say, we assume that's not correct. We assume it's only a rabbinic mitzvah. Not that it really matters, but in practice, but in theory it matters. Rav Natan Omer, no tzarich, each one says, I have another pasuk to teach us about making a bracha about food. Kivoachem ha'ir, when you come to the city, this is in Shmuel, in Shmuel Aleph, I think. When you come to the city, you will see in a moment, ki timsel oto, when you find Shaul. This is Shmuel going to anoint Shaul as the first king, if I'm not mistaken. Ki beterem yaleh habamata, you'll see before he comes up on the bima, lecho, comes to eat. Ki lo yochal la'am, the people will not eat ad bo until he comes. Ki hu yibarech, because he's going to bless. So you see the pasuk says he's going to eat, he's going to bless at the korban, he'll bless the zevach. Achar kein yochlu akurim. Then everybody can eat. It's like the grandfather at the wedding makes the bracha and makes a motzi, and then everybody can eat. You know, you get the one person, whatever. So you can make the bracha. V'chol chach lama, why did they talk so much? Like the hundil, they got together. So we good to learn this in today's stuff before. L'fisha hanashim daproniyot. Women talk a lot. So the Gemara says, well, when they prattle. They don't know how to talk. They, you know, they like to schmooze. So they give a long-winded pasuk. Nu. Ushmuel amar, unbelievable. Kedei listakel b'yafziyof shol shol. You know why they spoke a long time? Because Shol was really handsome. And they were talking about welcome Shol. So the longer they talked, the longer they could look at him. Amazing. The kedei listakel b'yafziyof shol shol. They wanted a look at the beauty of Shol. Right, from he was head and shoulders above everybody else. But we use that expression, you know, in intellect, whatever it means. In looks, he was the most handsome person around. Mikolam. Okay, Rav Yochanan Amar, you know where that is? This is unbelievable. God has a plan for the kings of the world. And when your term is up on January the 20th, 2020, Your term is 2021, January 20th, right? That's your term is up. New term, okay, no, right. So your term is over at the exact second, and not one. So the time to anoint Shaul hadn't come yet. It was only coming in 5 seconds. So the woman had to speak longer. It's like a wild thing. I figure what in the Gemara means by that. But by the way, there is an idea that right, the kings have less bichirachovshit. Okay, we won't get into all that stuff. But that's Gemara saying. So therefore, they had to speak longer because the time wasn't up to have the transfer of the kingship. So now the Gemara says like this: all this psukim tell us about birchan hamazon and also maybe the bracha before we eat. Torah minayin. How do you know you have to make birchas a Torah? We discussed before. In other words, the Gemara's assumption is interesting, right? You have to, we know, you have to make a bracha before you learn Torah. Where do you learn that from? Can't learn that from benching. Amar Rav Yishmael, Kavachomer. So again, the Gemara, before we had the Gemara a few pages ago, the Gemara quoted a pasuk, Kishem Hashem Ekra, I call out in God's name, Havu Gordo Lelinu. Here the Gemara says, again, it's a logical argument. And a logical argument doesn't need any verses in the Torah, and a logical argument turns the law into a biblical law. What's the logical argument? Achai Shamavarch. If I have to thank God for temporary life, food for this world, Achai Olam Haba, for the permanence of the world to come, how much more so do I have to bless God? Lo kol shekein. That's how I know. I don't need a pasuk to tell me birchat Torah. If I have to make a bracha on food, of course I have to make a bracha when I learn Torah. It's also a kenar, because that's kavachomer. Okay, whatever. Rav Chiya bar Nachmani, Talmido shel Rav Yishmael, the student of Rav Yishmael, Omer Mishum Rav Yishmael, he quoted his teacher. I know it's Sariach. No, I don't need that. I'm going to learn it from the same pasuk, birchat Torah. Harei Omer al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach. It says, by benching, Allah Arto Tova Asher Natan Lach, the good land that I have given you. And then the Pasuk says, by the Ser Hadibrot, right? V'etna lachat luchot ha'evan, I'll give you these tablets of stone. HaTorah v'hamitzvah, HaTorah Allah Arto, Rameh Omer, hold on a second. So what's the comparison in the Pasuk? Right, that's the same word, no? So, kol mitzvah asher nachim yitzurim lasot, lamanti yinuritim, alev asher levetechem. Okay, so the Gemara wants to say, I'm not sure I totally follow. Al artzotav asher natan lecha, oh, v'etna lecha, right, and I will give it to you. I give you the Torah and I give you food. So the same way when I give you food, you have to bless me. When I give you Torah, you have to bless me. God's giving us a gift. Ramei or Omer, minayin kishem shemivarech alatova king mivarech alara. Like out of left field. How do you know the same way you make a bracha for something good, food and Torah? These are the two bracha we're talking about. You also have to make a bracha, rachman lislan, on something bad. Talmud lomar, asher natan lecha, whatever God gave you. Dayencha b'chol dimedin shadancha. We had that before, b'chol modecha, b'chol midah. Again, you have a lot of the same things. Different rabbis derive it from different places. Beimidat tova, beimine pornut. Rav Yudo, beimiteir mer, no tzarich, omer mer, tova, tova. Tova zu Torah. No, how do you know birchat ha-Torah? Alarz ha-Tova. I should not tell them. What is good? Tova is Torah. Whenever the Torah uses the word tov, tov always, ki lekach tov, natati lechem. That's Torah. Vechene omer, Mark quotes, ki lekach tov, natati lechem. Ha-Tova zu binyan Yerushalayim. How many people? How many? I don't notice. You tell me there's a minion. What are we at? Nine people now?
Let me see if someone's in the school.
Probably eight and Avin there should be upstairs.
Let me see.
Okay, that's good. Okay, it's time to finish the daf, okay? Zubinyan Yerushalayim, Mechein Omer, Hahara Tov Azeh, Bahal Vanon. Okay, so the Gemara, based on this Gemara, Birchat HaTorah is a biblical mitzvah. And the bracha before you eat is a biblical mitzvah, and it's derived from a few different possibilities of the psukim. Either we have, you know, psukim, and or both, we have a kavachomer. If you have to bench before after you eat, for sure you have to make a bracha before. If you have to make a bracha on food, how much more so do you have to make a bracha on Torah? Okay, Tanya, we just send the. You know, SMS message, no? Is someone coming?
Sending WhatsApp.
Nobody's answering. Tell him we have someone who has your say that often will help. I hope.
Somebody
upstairs? Yeah, okay. Let's finish the daf once we're here. I didn't. Tanya Rabbi Elazar Mer, three lines from the bottom. Ko shelo amar eretz chemdato v'rachava v'rchad ha'aretz u'malchu v'veit aviv b'nei Yerushalayim lo yatzai dei chovato. That's a famous quote, right? If you didn't say eretz chemdato v'rachava in v'rchad ha'aretz, you didn't fulfill your obligation to bench. Or you didn't say malchu v'veit aviv, what do we say? Rachem na Hashem al Yisrael amachava Yisrael amachava malchu v'veit aviv yimashichecha. If you skip that phrase, malchu v'veit aviv yimashichecha, lo yatzai dei chovato. Nachum Hazakein Omer Itzarish Yisko Bo Brit Al Britcha Shechatam Teviv Sarenu. You have to mention The brit of both brit chashkanim to terenu val toratcha sheli maratanu, the brit of Torah and the brit of brit milah. Otherwise, you don't fulfill your obligation. Rabbi Yossi Omer tzarich sheyizkar bo Torah, right? Okay, val toratcha sheli maratanu. Plimo Omer tzarich sheyachdim brit l'Torah. You have to say val brit chashe chatamte vivsarenu val toratcha sheli maratanu. We say brit milah before Torah. So why would you say the reason we say brit milah before Torah is? What's the obvious reason? It happened first. Brit Milah happened way before Torah. Brit Milah happened 400 years before Torah. Avraham Avinu gets Brit Milah. 400 years later, we leave it. What? I'm sorry? There were no Jewish people.
Right.
No, but the concept of Brit Milah, it comes before the concept of the Brit of Torah. That's what I would say. That's not what the Gemara says. But that's what I would say. I mean, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just that.
They
did, not in the desert. They didn't do Brit Milah in the desert when they came to. And clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do Brit Milah. That's why God wanted to kill him. Okay. Anyways, okay, we'll cover tomorrow night, if you can make it.